Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
First reading is from the reading from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they invited him to stay for several days. Word of God, the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus said, the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Our Pacifica Synod Assembly is this coming week, where all of the congregations of our synod meet together to discuss serious issues that face our church, not only our local church in Southern California and Hawaii, but also the broader church of the ELCA across the nation. Jim Grukowski and Solveig Fuentes are the voting members from our congregation who will be attending this three-day meeting, and Pastor Dale will be there, and I will be there as well. One of the topics that we'll be discussing is this proposed social statement. The church has written a statement, a social statement, and is presenting it to assemblies, and then we'll vote on it in August when the whole church meets for an assembly in Minneapolis. The proposed social statement is on human sexuality, and it's a topic that is not only on discussion at our assembly here, but it's one of those issues that have been discussed at at synod assemblies and churchwide assemblies, not only in the Lutheran Church, but in many denominations across the country. And it seems like we've been talking about sex at synod assembly forever. It's always a topic on the agenda. Well, I was reading the social statement and preparing for that meeting next week, and I think it's a good social statement. I really think it's a good statement. And there's one paragraph under the heading of friendship that I wanted to read to you today in light of the gospel and the lessons that we just heard. This is what the social statement says. This church calls attention to the immense value of friendship for people in all stages of life. Human life in relationship includes many different forms of rewarding human companionship. Friendship expresses our longing for human connection, touch, and growth. They allow space for self-revelation in the shelter of various degrees of mutual commitment and regard. The ELCA encourages and celebrates all situations and initiatives that engage people in relationships of friendship and trust, both inside and outside the church community. It also recognizes the importance of strong social support for friendships. I think that's very encouraging, that the church wants to encourage us in developing and sustaining friendships. It's not talking, this social statement isn't just talking about sex. Is also talking about sexuality, who we are as people, and how important it is to have friends. This, I think that if you have been blessed with one or two good friends in your life, you know the truth of that paragraph, especially the part that talks about rewarding human companionship. It's part of our human condition to look for relationships of friendship and trust. And the Gospel of John, we hear these encouraging and hopeful words of Jesus. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I have called you friends. Friendship is the ultimate relationship of God and with one another. This is the one command that Jesus gives us, to be friends, to love one another. You are God's friend, and you are to be friends with one another. In the Greek, the word for friend, philos, comes from the verb philio, which means love. So friend is immediately connected with the idea of love. So a friend means one who loves. Deep connection between love and friendship. We have been called to friendship with Jesus through the waters of baptism. We have this friendship at the root, at the basis of our daily life, the very foundation of who we are as human people. We are friends of God. That idea of friendship was very developed in the ancient world, and it has two specific aspects, that ancient understanding of friend that John was referring to, or Jesus, in that text that we heard. And the first aspect of friendship is a willingness to give one's life for one's friends. Friendship was the glue that held together people, binding together people to one another and forming communities. And that was the idea of friend that would be so strong that one would be willing to sacrifice your life for another, for the common good. What's so remarkable about this is that Jesus was already living that out. What Jesus teaches, he's already living, giving his life for his friends. His entire life was an act of friendship in willingness to give his own life. There's a story I heard recently that happened during the Vietnam War. A rural village had been shelled, and some of the mortar shells landed on an orphanage that was being run by missionaries. And the missionaries were killed, as well as a number of the children. And there were others who were seriously wounded. An 8-year-old girl who had many wounds and was bleeding profusely. In response to the runner that went to the next village to get help, a Navy doctor and a nurse came from that village with their medical bag. And the young girl was very critical and in need of a blood transfusion. And they didn't speak Vietnamese, but just a little bit. And so using their little bit of Vietnamese, maybe a little bit of high school French, they were able to, and you know, some sign language, they were trying to get across to the other children who were not injured, the need for someone to volunteer to give their blood to save this little girl's life. If they weren't able to get her some blood right now, she was going to die. So they asked, is anybody willing to give blood to help? And the children were just wide-eyed and couldn't understand. And finally, a little boy raised his hand, and so they thanked him and asked his name and got him prepared. His name was Heng. And so Heng was laid down and his arm swabbed, and they put the needle in his arm. And as soon as they started to do that, he started to cry. And he covered his hand with his free hand. He covered his face and he was crying. And they were asking him, does it hurt? You know, maybe they got it in incorrectly or something was wrong. And so, does it hurt? And he shook his head. No, he it didn't hurt. Well, about that time, a Vietnamese nurse arrived to help. And seeing this little boy in such distress, he was just sobbing. She went and talked to him and smoothed her hand across his brow and was trying to console him. And finally, she gets, she talks to him and back and forth, and then she realizes what the problem was. He thought that they were going to take all of his blood for this little girl and that he was going to die. And the doctor was so surprised at that. And he said, well, why would he be willing to do that? So the nurse asked the little boy, why would you be willing to die? He said, because she's my friend. A simple response. That's the kind of friend that Jesus is. That example of friendship is what Jesus has given us to follow. Being willing to lay down one's life. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That willingness is one aspect of friendship. Another aspect of friendship is the use of frank and open speech. Aristotle says the opposite of friend is flatterer. It's kind of interesting. You think the opposite of friend is going to be enemy. But the opposite of friend is one who just flatters you, doesn't tell the truth. There's so-called friends who are not honest, who flatter us in order to get whatever their own end might be. But Jesus is a true friend who speaks honestly and openly with us. We are friends of Jesus. He speaks to us with all honesty. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. At the beginning of this passage that we heard from John's Gospel, the first time that Jesus says this, he says, you are my friends if you follow my command. But now he says, you are my friends because, you are my friends because I told you everything that the Father has told me. Because we know everything that Jesus knows, because we're invited into that intimate relationship with Jesus and his Father, we are his friends. Jesus, in his life and in his death, in his words and in his deeds, have shown and told everything about God's love. And that's the model that we have for how we are to love one another. It's that love that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit share. It's that love that makes it possible for us to be friends with one another, because we have been invited into that relationship. Jesus has chosen us to be his friend. When I was a kid, I hated the part of the game when we would choose up sides. I always liked the playing of the game, but I didn't like the choosing up sides. When we go to the park, and if it was one of the more competitive boys who was the captain, I would never get chosen. I'm not the best softball player. Well, okay, I'm the worst. And I would always be chosen last. Well, some of the little kids would be last, but I was used as an even up the sides person. I was never chosen for my athletic ability, unless we were playing just for fun. And then I was always chosen first because I have a lot of enthusiasm. And it was always fun to play. And people would want me on the team because I was having a good time. I think about Jesus choosing me to be on his team. Jesus choosing you. Who did Jesus choose to be his friends? He didn't choose, if he really wanted to win, if he was being very competitive in the religion game, he would have chosen the Pharisees. I mean, these are the people who do religion right. they fasted twice a week. They paid their tithes. They knew their scriptures. They tried to keep every single one of God's laws. They were always the perfect ones in religion. But that's not who Jesus chose. He chose a fisherman, several fishermen, smelly, impatient, hot-headed. He chose a tax collector, and we all know about tax collectors. He chose a zealot who thought all tax collectors should be killed. I'm sure that was interesting conversation around the dinner table between those people. And Jesus chose you and me, sinners all, imperfect. If we would lay out our problems, they would take longer to tell than we want to spend time. Jesus chose us to be his friends. He chose us because he loves us. And he wants our joy to be complete. That's what being a friend of Jesus is about. Life abundant, joy complete, friendship shared. Jesus wants us to have friends with one another, to be friends with one another, to be friends with him. May your life be filled with such friendship and be filled with the knowledge that you are loved by God. You have been chosen to be God's friend. May you live in that love.